Am I on? Hey, good morning, everyone. It's great to be with you this morning, and I'm sure glad to be back. Are you glad to be back this morning? And, you know, thank God for online, and those of you watching online, God bless you this morning. We trust that you're enjoying the service, but honestly, it's great to be back here in person. So I'm going to get right at it because we have a time limit, and I have some things that are on my heart that I want to share with you this morning, and so I'm going to get right at it. You know, I was reading an article the other day that was talking about the 21st century, and even though we're actually have gone through only 20 years of the 21st century, they've already named this century the Age of Fear. That's what, because there's so much fear in our world today. There's fear over climate change. There's fear over economies. There's fear over the environment. There's fear over gang and drug-related violence. There's fear over the rise of militant Islam. There's fear over racism, human trafficking, COVID-19, on and on it goes. And so we just happen to be living in a world that is becoming more and more consumed with fear. And so the world is really saying to us, be afraid. Be very afraid. But it's interesting that God says the opposite. God says, be strong, be courageous. Why does God continually say that? In fact, if you read through the Old and the New Testament, that is a common theme with God that many, many times when he first encounters man, the very first words out of his mouth is, don't be afraid. And the reason for that is because we're always afraid. But he says, don't be afraid. And then the next word out of his mouth is, be courageous, be strong. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. Why? Why is courage so fundamental to our relationship with God? And the reason for that is it releases God's power. Being courageous releases God's power in your situation, in your personal life. In us as a church, it releases the power of God. It's fundamental. In fact, we see that over and over again where God, people facing terrifying situations, the word of the Lord to them would be, take courage. For example, when the man was lowered through the roof who was paralyzed and lowered through the roof at the feet of Jesus, Jesus' first words to him were, take courage, son, your sins are forgiven. The woman with the issue of blood, which we know these stories, who pushed through the press to touch the hem of Jesus' garment, Jesus' words to her were, take courage, daughter, your faith has healed you. To the frightened disciples, as he walked to them across the water, they saw Jesus walk on the water, thought it's a ghost. He said to them, take courage, it is I, do not be afraid. In the upper room, the night that Jesus was betrayed, just before he was arrested to go to the cross, he says to his disciples, take courage, for I've overcome the world. And we could just give many, many examples. One of the most powerful examples in Scripture about where God exhorting people to take courage is the whole issue of Joshua. And we know that Joshua has just been handed the leadership of Israel. They've just spent 40 years in the wilderness while that first generation died off. And Joshua is standing on the east side of the Jordan River, looking across the river, and Jericho is on that side. And the Jordan is in flood stage, and God speaks to Joshua. And of course, this is the exact spot that Joshua had stood 40 years previously, and the people of Israel would not go into the land because they were afraid of the giants and they were afraid of the fortresses that were there. But even though it's 40 years later, those giants are still there. Those fortresses are still there. The situation has not changed. And so Joshua still has the same challenge, only now he's the leader and not Moses. And God says this to Joshua. He said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, cross this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I'm giving to them, the sons of Israel. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I've given it to you, just as I spoke to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, as far as the great sea toward the setting of the sun will be your territory. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I've been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous. For you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. He just kept hammering at him. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. I want to say to you this morning, whatever situation you are facing right now, be strong, be courageous. That's the word of the Lord to you this morning. Now, what does it mean to be courageous? Actually, it means this. It simply means to be resolute, to stand fast, to stand your ground. That's what it means. And that's what God is saying to Joshua. Can I tell you that courage is not the absence of fear? It's the mastery of fear. Can I be courageous and have fear at the same time? Yes, you can. But your fear is not mastering you. Your courage is overruling your fear. That's what it is. You know, one of the greatest failures among Christians is not a lack of knowledge, but a lack of courage. God never blesses cowardice. He doesn't. You know, it's lack of courage that causes many Christians not to share their faith. Many fear. It's lack of courage that causes Christians to not take stands on vital issues. It's lack of courage which causes people not to commit their lives to Christ. Can I tell you, it takes courage to become a Christian. It takes courage to accept Jesus as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And many people will not do it because they're afraid of what their friends might think. They're afraid of what their family might think. And so people don't accept Jesus because of fear, because of a lack of courage. You know, in the book of Revelations, the Bible even says the cowardly do not get into heaven. Revelations 21, verse 8. And so courage is a matter of choice. It's a choice to stand fast when you would rather run. Can I say to you that courage exalts Christ? When you are a courageous man or woman, when you evidence courage, you're actually exalting Jesus Christ. Let me give you an example of that. Paul's in prison. He's writing to the church at Philippi. And he's half starved. He doesn't know whether he's going to live or die. He doesn't know whether he's ever going to get out of prison. He's got a ton of opposition. The Jews hate him. The Romans are against him. Is Paul depressed? Is Paul paralyzed with fear? Is he screaming out, the sky is falling? Is he saying any of these things? No, actually, he's full of joy. And he writes a letter to the church, to the church at Philippi, and in chapter 1, verse 12, he says this. Now, I want you to know, brethren, that my circumstances, which means he's in prison, have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel, so that my imprisonment in the cause of Christ has become well known throughout the whole Praetorian Guard and everyone else, and most of the brethren trusting in the Lord because of my imprisonment have far more courage to speak the word of God without fear. Then he writes, for I know that through your prayers and God's provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. So Paul's main concern is not whether he's released from prison or not. His main concern is, I want to be courageous. I want to exalt Jesus through my courage, whether I live or whether I die. If I live, I want to live courageously. If I die, I want to die courageously. But courage is the main issue. Can I tell you why? Because courage is worship. Did you know that? Courage is worship. When you and I are courageous, it's a form of worship to our God. Another reason why courage is so important is that courage is a sign that Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You know, Paul goes on in this letter, and he says this in verse 27 of chapter 1. He says, whatever happens, meaning whether I live or die, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in the one spirit. What's he talking about? Courage. Striving together as one for the faith of the gospel without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. Then he says this statement. This is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but you will be saved, and that by God. Now, whoa, Paul, what are you saying? Are you saying this is great? We can just relish in that. You're going to be destroyed. Is that what he's saying? No, what is he saying? Why is he making a statement like that? Well, he's actually is using a military metaphor here. You see, in Paul's day, Rome was by far the strongest power in the world. It was a world power. And Caesar was known as the King of Kings. And so what would happen many times when Rome would go to battle against another nation who was ruled by their king, many times Rome would taunt the troops of the other nation and say, hey, our king is the real king. Do you want to serve a real king, or you want to serve your king and be destroyed? That's what he's saying. If you serve your king, you're going to be destroyed. But why don't you come and serve our king? Because he's greater than your king. And many times nations would just cave in right there. And their troops would just flee and cross the battle line and actually change sides, actually join the Romans. And Romans wouldn't even have to fight a battle because the people would just be so terrified that Caesar was this incredible king. And if they stayed with their inferior king, they would die. So what Paul is saying is this. We serve the king who is really king. We serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we know that he holds the future. You want to join? Want to join our side? You want to come over? You want to defect from your king and join our king? That's what he's saying. Because if you don't join our king, you're going to be destroyed. And what he's saying, of course, we know to be true. So what gives courage? Can I tell you that nobody is born courageous? We're not naturally fearless. Actually, we're naturally fearful. And so courage is something you have to grab. Courage is something you have to grow in. And I'm going to very quickly just give you a few points as to how do I increase courage in my life. And the first one is what God said to Joshua. Meditate on the word of God. He said, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. You shall meditate on it day and night that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous. Then you will have success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Can I tell you, being rooted in the word of God, and he talks about meditating. He doesn't talk about just doing a surface read of the scriptures, but he's talking about meditating. Meditating actually means to speak out loud. That many times when I read my Bible, I actually read out loud to myself. Because I'm meditating on the word of God. I want to read it. I want to hear myself say it. I want to think about it. I want to ruminate with it. That's called meditation. And by doing that, actually, it does something to me. It does a transformation work. Actually, it increases courage in my own heart and in my own life, among a number of other things. Secondly, is on the way to grow in courage is do small, courageous things. Take steps of courage. I believe that every day, we have opportunities to be courageous every day. Take small steps. And in every act of courage that you make, that you take, every situation you have to be resolute in your faith and your belief in your situation increases your courage. You know, Joshua started off by taking a step into the Jordan River that was in flood stage. And then after that, he took Jericho. And then after that, he fought the army of five kings. And every one of those situations demanded a greater and greater step of courage. And finally, he commanded the sun to stand still. Amen? And so you see Joshua growing, increasing in his authority, in his courage. And finally, at the end of his life, he says, you choose this day who you're going to serve. The gods behind the river are the Lord God, but it's for me and my house. We're serving the Lord. He's resolute. He's courageous. Of course, Caleb was the same way. Third thing is hang around courageous people. Hang around people of courage. Courage is contagious. Billy Graham said this, when a brave man takes a stand, the spines of others are stiffened. Paul said this, going back to the church of Philippi. He says, I want you to know, brethren, my circumstances have turned out for a greater progress of the gospel so that my imprisonment in the cause of Christ has become well known throughout the whole Praetorian Guard and everyone else, and for that, most of the brethren trusting in the Lord because of my imprisonment have far more courage to speak the word of God without fear. I used to wonder about that, but Paul was evidencing such courage in prison. He said, I don't care whether I live or whether I die. I'm a man of courage. If I will live courageously, I will die courageously. I am full of courage. And when the saints saw Paul's attitude and his spirit in his heart in prison, it increased their courage. Courage is contagious. You hang around people of courage, your courage increases. But the opposite is also true. Fear is also contagious. You hang around fearful people, your fear increases. Remember Tiananmen Square in 1989? When I say it, what comes to mind is that one guy standing in front of a convoy of tanks. How many remember that image, seeing that image? What is that? Courage. And because of that one man standing in front of a convoy of tanks, the Chinese people gained courage to stand up against repression and against tyranny. One guy can have an amazing effect on a nation, on a people. You know, Gideon, God, of course, calls Gideon to defeat the Midianites, and he starts off with an army of 35,000, and God comes to say, you know, your army's too big. So let's whittle it down. So one of the very first things he did to whittle it down, he says, everybody who's afraid, leave. 22,000 men left. Out of 35, 22,000 said, okay, I'm done, I'm afraid, I'm leaving. And then finally, the next test was still too big. He says, well, let's whittle it down some more. And so they had the whole issue of whether you lapped with your hand or you knelt down and drank with your mouth in the water. And so they took the guys that lapped with their hands, so that left down to 300. So you had 300 guys who were prepared and courageous, and 300 men who were prepared and courageous defeated an army of over 1 million. Amen? Courage is incredibly powerful. Can I tell you, God's presence brings courage. David at Ziklag, they wanted to stone him. He went and strengthened himself in the presence of God. Amen? Gained courage. Paul is being held captive in Jerusalem, and there's a plot to kill him. And it says in Acts 23, verse 11, it says, but on the night immediately following, the Lord stood at his side and said, take courage, for just as you have solemnly witnessed to my cause at Jerusalem, so you must witness at Rome also. So Jesus stood by Paul's side and said, hey, take courage, Paul. They're not going to kill you. And he gained courage from that. And then the fifth thing is, knowing God's purpose for your life gives you courage. Because God said to Paul that night, hey, you testified to me in Jerusalem, you're also going to testify in Rome. Paul said, you know what? God's got me going to Rome. I'm a man of purpose. I'm a man of destiny. He wasn't afraid. And then developing convictions helps you with courage. Say, what's a conviction? A conviction is a basic principle for which we purpose to follow whatever the cost. Now, I think it's important that you have convictions that are worthy of being a conviction. I've seen people have convictions over legalistic, small-minded things. And that, to me, is not worthy of holding as a conviction. But we have examples in the Bible of people who had great courage because they had convictions. The three Hebrew children refused to bow down to Nebuchadnezzar's idol. Even if you say, go ahead, throw me in a fiery furnace, I don't care. I am not bowing down to that idol. Where did that courage come from? They had a conviction. Daniel said, Daniel refused to eat the king's food. I'm not eating it. Do whatever you're going to do, but I'm not eating that food. Peter and John, after they healed the lame at the gate, they were arrested and commanded not to preach in the name of Jesus any longer. But they refused. They said, you can go ahead and command us if you want. We will not stop preaching and teaching in his name. Where did they get that courage from? Conviction. And finally, the last one is being encouraged by other people. Moses encouraged Joshua. Paul was encouraged by the brethren at Rome when he first showed up at Rome. He says, the brethren, when they heard about us, came in there as far as the market of Appius and 3 inns to meet us. And when Paul saw them, he thanked God and took courage. Why are we here this morning? We're here to encourage one another in the Lord. Amen. strengthen our courage. Well, let me conclude. I want to challenge you this morning. We all have giants in our lives. Amen? We all have fortresses. We all have challenges. And you can tremble in fear, or you can take courage. And I want to challenge you this morning that whatever you are facing, whether it be a health issue, whether it be a family issue, whether it be a relational issue, whether it be an issue with your kids, whether it be finances, whatever it is, I want to challenge you, take courage. Be courageous. Be strong. You know, I remember that movie, We Bought a Zoo? Anybody saw that movie, We Bought a Zoo? That's a crazy story. It's actually made a movie out of it. And he bought this guy bought a 30-acre zoo in, I think it's Germany, in 2006. His name was Benjamin Mee, M-E-E. And so there were times, and it was a broken down, run down zoo. And it's actually a pretty interesting film. At one point, he asked himself, what have I done? I mean, what was going through my head that I would buy a zoo? And so he said this in response to his own question. Here's what Benjamin Mee said. I want you to hear this. He said, sometimes all you need is 20 seconds of insane courage. Just literally 20 seconds of embarrassing bravery. And I promise you, something great will come of it. You know, I started thinking about that. 20 seconds was probably about how long it took for Peter to swing his leg over the side of the boat and walk on water. 20 seconds was probably the length of time it took for David to charge Goliath and whip a rock through his forehead. 20 seconds is probably the time that it took for Zacchaeus to climb that tree so he could see Jesus. Those are just three examples. Sometimes when you take a stand of courage, it has incredible ramifications. Amen? When you think of people like that and the decision they made, the courageous decision, and how that changed their life, and how it changed the whole direction of their life, and how it changed the lives of many, many others, then you realize the power of courage. You need to understand something this morning, that you as an individual can make an incredible difference. One person of courage, I believe, can change the direction of an entire family tree. One person of courage can stand up in the face of fear, hardship, and peer pressure and lead a people into a whole different way of life. Just one person. And there are many examples in the Bible of that very fact. You can go through the Old Testament, you can go through the New Testament, and you see it again and again and again, where a man or a woman made a decision of courage and changed the destiny. When Ruth decided, I'm sticking with you, Naomi. I don't care what we face, I'm sticking with you. That had such ramifications. When Rahab the harlot decided, I'm going to hide the two spies, and I'm going to hide them. Changed her life. She ended up in the lineage of Jesus over that 20-second split decision of courage. That 20 seconds of courage changed her life and her destiny. And we have example after example after example of that. One person of courage who refuses to be intimidated or given to fear has incredible impact. So I want to say to you, church, be courageous. I want you to stand with me this morning. I just want to pray with you. Does that sound right? Yeah. I want you to think about a situation in your life right now which is fearful for you, that you're afraid of. I want you to think of that situation right now. And I want you to take a stand this morning and make a decision. I'm not going to whine or complain or speak words of unbelief or fear. But the most important thing, regardless of what happens and how it turns out, the most important thing is that I am a person of courage and I was courageous in that situation. Paul said, whether I live or die is not the issue. Being a person of courage is the issue because it has power. It has impact. I want you to think of that. Let's pray together. Father, in the name of Jesus this morning, I pray, Father, that you would strengthen my hands today. Strengthen my heart. God, give me courage to face my life, to face the situations in my life, to face the things that are causing me the most fear and the most anxiety. Give me courage to stand strong, to be resolute, to be steadfast, to not be intimidated in any way. And Father, may my courage be worship unto you. And may my courage, Lord, make impact in other people's lives. And Lord, I believe that you're going to take my courage and you're going to change the destiny of my life, and you're going to change the destiny of my family and people around me, my friends, my family members, my church brothers and sisters, whoever. Lord, make me that person of courage and strength. Cause me to walk out of this building this morning saying, that's it. I'm making a decision of courage. I'm going to be resolute. I'm following you, Jesus. You're the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And Lord, I want to thank you and praise you that you have me in your hand. You have my situation in your hand. You have my family in your hand. I trust you. And Lord, I trust you that you're leading and guiding me by the power of your Holy Spirit. And I want to say thank you, Jesus. I exalt in you. I rejoice in you. Lord, fill me with joy. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.